Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the Divine Service broadcast live for you from St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, where Christ is in all things as we receive and give the love and hope of Christ. We pray that in hearing God's word, He strengthens your faith and love in Christ. Pastor Lance O'Donnell is senior pastor, and Pastor Jason Shockman is associate pastor. The organist is Allison Mackey. Pastor O'Donnell preaches the message, Designed for Godly Freedom.
As we mark and observe the festival of the Reformation, our first assigned reading is from Revelation, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading for this Reformation observed is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the Alleluia and reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to thee, O God.
the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. So, why is a brick, and not a spectacular one at that, from the Berlin Wall, other than my family pictures, my most prized personal possession? It relates directly to this passage spoken by Jesus in John 8. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And it relates directly to this passage from Galatians 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. You see, we were designed for godly freedom, designed to be loved by God, to love God and one another and the whole creation. But it's not the world that we experience, is it? And the scriptures make clear that this is not God's fault. It's ours. Genesis 3 tells the story of the first humans who were not content with being made in the image and likeness of God and being God's vice regents with dominion over the whole creation. No, they were deceived by Satan, the unrighteous deceiver who wasn't happy with his own status as an archangel of God and instigated a rebellion in heaven and on earth. And thus, the first humans distrusted God's word, believed a lie that they were somehow insufficient and that they could be their own gods. And when they, as the height of creation, rebelled, all creation fell into sin under them and with them. And we are their descendants. And we add, as we all know, we add to the mess ourselves. Thus, as the Holy Spirit tells us through St. Paul in Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now that, of course, is not the end of the story, is it? And that's why we're here this morning. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified, that is, declared righteous by God's grace as a gift through the redemption, that is, through the purchase that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, that is, a means by which God's wrath is satisfied and good is given. So Jesus Christ was put forward as a propitiation by His blood, that is, the eternal blood of the Son of God, is sufficient to pay for the price, the purchase price of the sins of the whole world. And all of this, the Lord tells us through St. Paul in Romans 3, all of this is received by faith, by trust in God's promised Son. Which is to say, all of this, that as sinful beings, we cannot do enough to pay it forward to cover for our sins. We cannot earn God's forgiveness. We can't do enough to cover all the stupid, and yes, stupid and rebellious things that we say and do and think. Our debt is too great. Our wills, as the scriptures say, our wills are inclined to evil. And if you don't believe that, spend a couple days with a 2 or 3-year-old who are simultaneously sweet and then an absolute fit. Now, and a lot of us don't get much better. Therefore, to be reconciled to God, to be restored to our status as those made in the image of likeness of God, to be the faithful and loving and generous people that we were designed to be, we must therefore be rescued by God Himself. And that's exactly why the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, took on flesh, why He lived a perfect life on our behalf, why He received the punishment that we all deserve by His death, and why He rose gloriously in the body, victorious. That truth that the Son of God came in the flesh, died for us, and rose from the dead, it's not told in nature. You can't learn that from walking around the lake, from hiking in the mountains, or from fishing. That's the natural knowledge of God. That truth, the gospel, the good news, only comes through the revealed knowledge of God, that is, through God's Word. And thus, the true Church of God rests on the authority of God's Word alone. And the true Church of God has a central teaching. That is, that we have salvation, we have forgiveness for our debt to God, that we are rescued by God Himself, not by our own works, not by what we do. The Lord teaches us we are rescued by God, Romans 3. We hold that no one is justified, that we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law, apart from what we do. So, do not be fooled by your ability. Do not be fooled by your intellect. Do not be fooled by your own religiosity. St. Paul writes in Galatians 6, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Consider, for example, the fools, and we do not use that word lightly according to the teaching of Jesus. Consider the fools who challenged Jesus in John 8. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples." That is, if you keep, if you trust, if you treasure, if you live from the authority of My word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, "We're offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved by anyone. How is it that you can say we will become free?" What? The children of Abraham were never enslaved? How about the 430 years in Egypt? I mean, that comment is just sinful, foolish rebellion. So Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who practices sin, that is, anyone who knows the truth and remains in rebellion against Christ, anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever." That is, the slave doesn't have rights of inheritance. The son remains forever. Hear Jesus. So if the Son, He's talking about Himself here, the Son of God, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Friends, we are designed by God for godly freedom. We are, as St. Paul says in Galatians 5, designed as brothers, called to be free. But the Lord says, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And this is how we say it in the explanation to the second article of the Creed in our small catechism. If you want to look along, it's on page 323 of your hymnal. This is how we summarize this. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Christ, Jesus Christ, sets us free to live in hope and to glorify God in our bodies. But the world, and Western culture in particular, calls freedom. We call freedom in our culture doing whatever you darn well please. It is, in effect, in our culture, the God of our culture is ourselves. And the central teaching of our civic religion is the pursuit of personal pleasure. And if you try and live that way, you will discover, likely pretty quickly, that the pursuit, the relentless pursuit of personal pleasure, is a form of bondage. It's slavery. You're trapped. You are walled in. And so that brick from a broken down wall that was designed to trap people in a form of slavery is a reminder in its own way of the freedom that Christ has given me and that he has given you. And that thing, as I've said before, that thing, that brick was in a box from 1990 until 2015 when I started to see a resurgence of interest in communism amongst young people. Now, communism is a form of government that, as its base, is a philosophy that denies God. In fact, communism believes that God, or that the religion, and in particular the Christian religion, is a drug to dull people's minds. They package it in our culture now under different names. They don't call it because it's got still kind of a dirty word in our culture, but it gets repackaged. Part of the reason I brought that brick out, I had my friend Ross Johnson, who's a blacksmith and a member at Bethlehem Wales, put it in display so I could use it and remind people now and then of what that godless, forsaken system is actually all about. Because, friends, Jesus Christ sets you free. Jesus Christ, by his life and death resurrection, sets you free for the godly freedom for which you designed. And that godly freedom is exercised not in doing whatever gives you personal pleasure, but in glorifying God in your bodies. That is, in loving, sacrificial, faithful service to others. The Son has set you free. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray to our God who has justified us by the work and grace of Jesus alone, that our faith may be strengthened and nourished by his word. Holy Lord, you have given us your word as your promise and washed us in baptism to be your own people and to live under you in your kingdom now and forever. Build us up in Christ that we may hold the faith in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, as we give evidence of this faith in holiness of life. Reprove us when we are in error, and reform what is lacking in us, that we may grow up into Christ our head. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our